Have you ever heard someone talk about self-care and you think to yourself, sounds good, but what exactly does that mean? If you ask 10 different people what self-care is, they're probably going to give you 10 different answers, and of course, none of them are wrong. It changes person to person, but what if you're new to self-care, or you know you could do better, but you just don't know what that looks like? That's what we're going to be covering in today's episode. So, let's get into it. So what exactly is self-care? When I was younger, I thought that self-care was going to the hair salon or getting your nails done. Maybe going shopping? I'm not exactly sure about that last one, but apparently Macy's was my very first word according to my mother, so I assume that I was along for the ride for a fair amount of retail therapy. And yes, Macy's really was my very first word. I confirmed it with my mother over the weekend. So before a few years ago, self-care to me basically equated to a spa day. A day where you could relax, not be bothered by anyone that you don't want to deal with, and letting other people pamper you. Sounds nice, right? Well, in my mind, that version of self-care was only for people that had money or who didn't mind being touched by other people. And while that sounds good to a lot of people, and really at this point in my life, it sounds good to me too, I didn't really relate to that at the time. I'd never been just rolling in the dough, and I didn't really like being touched, so massages, manicures, facials, and even my feet are terribly ticklish, so even pedicures were out. These days, I know a little bit more about self-care, that it's not just about having someone do for you, which of course is always nice, but it's about taking time to focus on you and the things that help you maintain joy in your life. And that can include so much more than just getting your nails and your hair done. But taking an active role in bringing more joy into your life requires some level of awareness that you're not currently as happy or joy-filled as you'd like to be. Half the battle for me in this journey so far has been just recognizing the discrepancy between where I currently am and where I want to be. And I don't know about you, but in my household growing up, there was not much conversation about feelings. My parents are two of the smartest people I know, but as a family, we just didn't focus that much on how we felt. Neither did a lot of people in their generation, so it makes sense. And thinking was always front and center. What do you think? Well, why do you think that? And what does that mean to you? This was at a very, very, very young age for me, and I once asked my mom, pretty recently actually, why she harped on this so much. She said it was because she always wanted me to be able to not just think for myself, but also understand how I came to those conclusions and be able to communicate my perspective to others. My mother comes from a long line of educators, and my dad is also a wonderful teacher in his own right. So all of this made sense to me. But as an adult, that manifested in ways like me defending my stance when someone was actually just asking a very simple question and looking for a very simple answer, or over-explaining everything, which I may do here and there on this show, so you can probably fast forward through the next 2 minutes while I finish this point. Anyway, my parents trained me well. I can explain almost anything to almost anybody. I'm a great teacher, and by nature, I am in my head a lot. So I can think my way through almost anything. But you know what you can't think your way through? At least not entirely. Feelings. At the age of 25, my therapist said to me, "Have you ever noticed that when I ask you how you feel about something, you always tell me what you think instead?" I was floored, and truly, that moment changed my life for a lot of reasons, which I won't go into now, but it was a huge wake-up call. And I have spent the last decade trying to get in touch with my feelings. Something as simple as identifying what a feeling is was so, so difficult for me for a really long time, much less figuring out what the trigger was or how to shift that feeling into something else. Now, why do feelings matter? Being able to recognize and communicate what you feel to yourself and others helps you identify what needs to be done in order to improve how you feel. Here's the thing, at the root of it, self-care is really just about creating more joy in your life. That's it. Yes, you want to feel more rested or feel more healthy. Maybe you want to embody more confidence and attract better partners than you have in the past. All of those require that you let more joy into your life. And if you want to get down to the basics, here's basically the definition that I've kind of compiled from a few different sources, and it might help you wrap your mind around it. Self-care is what you do to improve and maintain your physical, emotional, and mental well-being. So really anything, no matter how big or how small, that lights you up inside, that brings you peace, that fills your soul, that is self-care. So here are three easy self-care actions that I take on a regular basis to identify and shift my own feelings and my own emotions into something more productive, more positive, more in the direction of things that I want to feel. And they don't involve anyone else. They don't require any money. And you can start doing them right now. So, number one, super easy. Try something new. This is one of those things that has surprised me a lot recently. I do not enjoy trying new things for the most part, really in any area of my life. But every once in a while, I get really brave, or I'm trying to impress a lady, and I try something new. And by doing this, I have discovered some of my favorite self-care practices. Cooking, for instance. Typically super stressful for me. I am an eat-to-live kind of person. I really only take the time to eat when I'm really hungry, and in general, I don't have the patience for it. And for someone as poor at time management in the kitchen as me, these two do not mix well. In fact, that was just the sound of my stomach growling. I probably need to take care of that right after I finish recording this. But I've noticed that when I step away from my computer and decide to cook as a way to get creative or maybe recreate some of my favorite dishes in order to save money, I find that I really enjoy it. It's also a big stress reliever for me. And because of the nature of cooking, you kind of have to pay attention. And 9 times out of 10, you aren't going to just give up midway through. You kind of have to see that stuff through to the end. I mean, you're hungry, right? So it's actually really, really good for me. So what is something that you've been wanting to try? Maybe there is something that keeps coming up in your life, or when it's a weekend or you're on your day off, what is something that you think of doing but you never really act on? Maybe now is the time. Number two, remember what makes you happy. This sounds super simple, it's almost ridiculous. But so often, life just kind of starts to get away from us. We get onto this hamster wheel, and all of a sudden you look back and realize that you're not having much fun. This happened to me fairly recently. And then later on that same day, while on a walk, I wrote a list of things that make me happy. Things that have always made me happy. And interestingly enough, I was not doing those things almost ever. Why do we deny ourselves so much joy instead of just leaning in? Joy begets more joy, so hop on the joy train, folks. I mean, come on. Also, walking in general. When COVID hit, as someone that works from home, I pretty much gave up driving altogether. I'm lucky enough to be able to walk to the grocery store and walk to a small row of shops here in LA called Larchmont Village. So if I ever want a bite to eat or just to people watch, that's where I go. Also, my car was in some desperate need of some important repairs, so, you know, I decided to just give it a break. So I went from a mostly sedentary lifestyle to walking between 1 and 3 miles every single day. And then one day I walked to the donut shop, not too long ago, a few weeks, and I realized why I had such an affinity for walking. My dad and I used to take really long walks, sometimes to the grocery store, sometimes to the donut shop, but it would be miles and miles and miles. And on these walks, we would have the most awesome conversation about everything and nothing at all. And it's still one of my favorite things to do by myself and with my father. I just didn't remember until I reminded myself by making that list. Other things that make me happy: taking photos of flowers, seeing puppies. You know that very high-pitched scream that some people make when they see babies? After my heart softened a little bit at age 28, I became that person. Oh my God, he's so cute. Like, I almost make myself want to puke right now. And guess what I don't have in my life right now? Dogs. And it's not like I need to go get a dog. You don't need to be adding these things to your life all of a sudden, and it doesn't have to be permanent. For instance, for me, and if you like dogs too, you can foster or volunteer at a shelter. It doesn't have to be this permanent thing that changes your life for all time. You have options. So next time you have a moment to yourself when you're just contemplating things, maybe while you're on a walk, make a list of things that you really enjoy doing. And then look at that list. How many of those things do you do on a regular basis? And if the answer is not so many, maybe you should work a few of those into your routine. And number three, pause and ask yourself, what do I want? Again, so often we are running on default, simply reacting to whatever's happening in the moment. That's often an emotional reaction, and it's not necessarily the most ideal response for the situation. This is an experience that I had fairly recently. I attended a local event where there was going to be a lot of physical contact. It was not sexual, but you were going to be interacting with basically strangers and kind of touching all on them. So at this particular event, they were very, very heavy on consent. So much so that you have to attend 2 training sessions before you can start attending on a regular basis as a member. They are very serious. And the main takeaway from the facilitator was that you want to be asking yourself, what do I want, throughout the entire event? You might choose to engage with someone in one way, and then 5 minutes later, you're feeling something else. You move on to a different person, or you're changing how you're interacting with that first person. Constantly asking what you want helps you honor yourself and ultimately what brings you joy, because it will change. It's not always going to be the same thing. You're not always going to want the same thing moment to moment. So allow yourself to ask yourself what you want and allow yourself to change your mind too. That's something that I personally get really stuck in. When I say that I want something, it used to be that I'm like, okay, well, I said that I wanted this, so I have to bear the consequences if something goes wrong or if something changes. Well, that's not necessarily true. Always be asking what you want. Again, that is how you cultivate more joy. So I invite you, tomorrow when you wake up, throughout the day, see if you can continually ask yourself, maybe every hour or every couple of hours, maybe even set an alarm, what do I want in that moment? And then listening and leaning in. So these are 3 easy self-care tips that don't involve anyone but you. You just have to look within, get a little comfortable being uncomfortable, and go for it. Thank you so much for listening. We're going to be having a lot of episodes like this interwoven between our interviews. So if you like hearing about this particular topic or any other topics, definitely let me know. You can go to Queer and Woo, drop me a message there, and you can definitely slide into my DMs on Instagram. Please do that. I love talking to listeners. Love, love, love it. I'm always going to respond to you. If I haven't, it's probably just because I haven't seen it. Also, you can tell us a little bit more about yourself, so how you identify, what your age is, and some of the other concepts and topics that you're interested in just overall by taking our listener survey. And the link to that is on the homepage at queerandwoo.com. Also, if you like the show, please rate and review us on Apple. It really helps us get the word out to the community, to people that need and want to hear this content. Take care of yourself, try something new, and I'll catch you next time on Queer and Woo.